There are so many voices today, beloved. So many voices and so many messages and such a wide variety that are going out in the name of Jesus Christ. How do you know what's right? How do you know what's true? Because if you listen carefully, many of those voices contradict one another. Some do not talk about sin. Others talk about sin. Some never talk about living righteously. Others talk about living righteously. How do I know who to listen to? You've got to know the Word of God, beloved. You've got to know and understand for yourself His precepts for life. And that's what this program is all about. It's about discovering truth for yourself so that you can walk in a way that is pleasing to Him. The way that's pleasing to Him is the way of faith. What does it mean to be a woman or a man of great faith, or to be a man or a woman of little faith? We'll talk about it today. How convinced are you, my friend, that the Word of God is the Word of God? How convinced are you that Jesus is God and that He gives you access to the Father, and that when you have access to the Father, you have access to the One who honors faith? Remember, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, impossible to please God. Because those who come to Him must believe that He is, that He is God, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently, diligently seek Him. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 15 again. And in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus has just finished dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes that have come down from Jerusalem and have challenged Him because His disciples aren't washing their hands before they eat bread. They're not keeping the tradition of the elders. Remember, Jesus goes to the heart of the matter. And we saw that, and He shows us that it's not what comes in the body or what goes out of the body that's important. Rather, it's what comes out of the mouth, because it shows what's in the heart. Well, when He finished that, He left to go to Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre and Sidon is in the north part of the land of Israel, in the northern part. It's farther up than Dan, and it's close to the Mediterranean Sea. It's part of the land that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As a matter of fact, when you study Ezekiel's vision of the land, you see that that part of Lebanon right now really belongs to Israel, and someday will be returned to Israel. So Jesus leaves to go up. He went from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And that's Matthew 15, verse 21. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. It's very interesting that this Gentile woman, this Syrophoenician woman who is a Gentile, knows who Jesus is, knows that He is the Son of David. Remember, and I keep wanting to remind you, that the Gospel of Matthew opens up with the genealogy of the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, the one that is to inherit the throne, the one that is someday to rule over the earthly Zion and over all the world. She calls Him Son of David. She knows His authority. She knows His power. If we stop for just a minute and go to Mark chapter 7, we can get just a little bit more detail on this occasion. In Mark chapter 7, in verse 24, it says, "And Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it." In other words, he went up there in a sense so to escape. He went into the house. He didn't want anyone to know that he was there. And yet it says, yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. This woman knew that Jesus was there and that Jesus had the power to heal her daughter. And then it tells us this in verse 26. "Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter." Well, I want us to go back to Matthew, because now we've established that she's a Gentile. Now we've established that she's of the Syrophoenician race. Now we've established the fact that Jesus wanted to be alone and he could not escape their notice. And in Matthew chapter 15, it says, "The Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord.'" Now notice, she's crying for mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is looking at someone who is in a pitiful state and knowing that you have the need, you have the means of helping them in that state. So she is asking for mercy. She's saying, "Look at me and help me. Look at me and move on my behalf." And it says she implored, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. She keeps shouting, 'Have mercy on me, O son of David. Have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon possessed. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me.'" She is not going to give up. I love her persistence. "But he answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" I'm sorry, I cannot help you. You're a Gentile. "I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now we know from the very beginning that Jesus is the shepherd of Israel. Matthew makes this very, very clear. And so the shepherd has come to tend for his own sheep, not somebody else's sheep. "But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me, help me, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.'" Now that sounds a little cruel, doesn't it? Sounds a little demeaning. And yet we know that Jesus is not demeaning. He wants her to get the point. "I didn't come to feed you. I didn't come to feed you. The head of the household doesn't take the children's food and give it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." What an answer. What an answer. "And Jesus said to her, 'Oh, woman, your faith is great. Your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish.'" You see, the thing that he could not resist was her faith. God cannot resist faith. If you and I can get that and understand it. Now, I'm not talking about presumption. I'm not saying, "Oh, I want this and I'll believe." I'm not saying that, because faith is taking God at his word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, Romans chapter 10, and hearing by the word of Christ. So you hear the word of God, you believe the word of God, and that is faith. And remember, Jesus said, "If you have faith as the size of a grain of mustard seed, then you will say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast into the sea,' and it will be done." So faith is very, very important. And it's her faith that gets the healing for her daughter. And Jesus says, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And then it says this, and her daughter was healed at once. You know, this morning as I met with the Lord, and we're staying right here in the city of Tiberias as we do this series on the Gospel of Matthew. But I was talking to the Lord about faith and reading and preparing and praying and just saying, Lord, I want my faith to increase. I really want to understand your word. I want to know who you are, and I want to take you at your word, and I want to believe you. I don't want to look at circumstances. I want to look at the word of God and the God of the word, because I know that you are able to perform what you have said. And I want to walk that way. I want to be pleasing to you. I want to see you work and you move in great and mighty ways because I believe you. Well, this is what this woman saw. I love her answer. Don't you love her answer? Don't you love what she comes back and says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Well, in verse 29, it says, departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee. And it's the Sea of Galilee that is behind me. So he comes back to where he's having his ministry. And then it says, having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking and the crippled restored and the lame walking and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. You see, precious one, when we live the way that we're supposed to live, the glory passes even from us onto the Father. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 17, just before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is going to be arrested. He says, Father, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. I have glorified you on earth. It is your duty and my duty. It is your honor and my honor to glorify God on earth. And how do we glorify him? We glorify him by believing him. Remember, Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh. But he's walking by the Spirit. Remember at the beginning of his ministry, the Spirit of God descended on him, and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So he's living life in the Spirit, the way you and I are to live life. It's in the Spirit. And if we live life in the Spirit, we live life in faith, and it brings God the glory. Well, something glorious is about to happen again, and we'll look at it in just a minute. Crowds are following Jesus. They're there with him on the mountain that is overlooking the sea that is behind me. As a matter of fact, if it were a clear day, you could see the mountain behind me. The crowds have come up to Jesus. They have brought the lame, they have brought the sick, they have brought the mute, and Jesus has healed them all. But then it tells us something about him, something that you and I need to know and something that you and I need to imitate, and something we can because we have the same Spirit of God inside of us. And it says, and Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the people. I want you to mark the word compassion. It's an important word, and I've marked it throughout the Gospel of Matthew, and I mark it throughout my Bible because I want to have the same compassion that Jesus has for people. Remember when we looked at the Sermon on the Mount? Remember how he tells us that we are to treat people? Remember how we are to be perfect even as the Father is perfect? You and I are here on the face of this earth to let men know that there is a God whose very essence of his being is love. And because he's love, he's compassionate, because he looks at people and he desires their highest good. Well, Jesus is on that mountaintop. The crowds have been there. Listen to what he says. He says, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days. You want to mark that time phrase. And they have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry. Why? For they might faint on the way. I don't want any harm to come on them. They've been up here 3 days with me. They've eaten all their food. They're not going to leave, but I'm about to send them away. And I don't want them to faint. And so the disciples said to him, where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? Now, you and I have to remember that they lived on bread. I mean, bread was what sustained them. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, when he's talking about how he fed them with manna? And he says, I wanted to remind you as you gathered that manna every morning, that hoary frost that was over the ground, that man doesn't live by bread alone. But man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So he doesn't live by bread alone, but bread was necessary to keep them from fainting. And so the disciples said, where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few small fish. And he directed the people to sit on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them. So many times when we go to our friend's house, we come into Israel early, always so that we can get here in time for Shabbat dinner. And we'll sit around that table, and Ellie will take the bread, and he will lift it up and bless it. Baruch Hashem Adonai. And then he continues with that blessing, the giver of the bread of the earth. And this is what Jesus did. He blessed the food. He blessed the bread. And it says, and he broke them. And that's what Ellie will do. He will break the bread. He will take the bread and he will dip it into salt. And then he will eat the first piece. Then he'll break another piece, dip it into salt, and hand it to those of us sitting around the table. So he takes the bread, he breaks the bread, he gives thanks, he breaks the bread, and it says, and he started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, seven large baskets full, and those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat again on the Sea of Galilee and came to the region of Magadan. We're very close to the region of Magadan. And then it says the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up, and testing Jesus, they asked him, show me a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, predicting the weather, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. I wonder, beloved, if you're discerning the signs of the times, the terribleness of our culture, the breakdown of the family, the immorality, and then what's happening among the nations and what's happening here in the land of Israel, all point to us that the times are coming. The times are coming for the Son of Man to come in all His glory. We have yet to study that in the Gospel of Matthew, and I can't wait. Well, he says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it. He said this before, except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away. He told them once about the sign of Jonah. He's told them a second time about the sign of Jonah. What do? They need to have faith. They need to take God at His word. They need to believe what He's saying. And it says, and the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began to discuss this among themselves. They said, He said that because we didn't bring any bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? And how many baskets you picked up? It was 12, remember? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000? And how many large baskets you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, the yeast of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They think, we didn't bring enough bread. Why does he say, oh, you men of little faith? He's reminding them, I'm your God. I'm here. I promise to supply all your needs. This is what it says in the scripture, that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Paul writes it in the book of Philippians in that 4th chapter. We are to be men and women of faith. We are to trust God. We are to know that He's our Heavenly Father. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and know all these things will be added to us. And so once again, He calls them, O men, O ye of little faith. But at the same time, He warns them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and Sadducees taught different things. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They had differences of beliefs. But both of them had distorted the word of God. And God's telling you today, beware of false teaching. Beware of false teaching. The word of God is the basis of your faith. And you and I need to know what the Word of God says, and then we need to believe it. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, beloved, if you want to build your faith, you've got to know God, and you've got to know His Word. And then you won't be a person of little faith. You'll be like the Syrophoenician woman who knew who Jesus was and who persisted until she got what she wanted from Him, what He alone could give. Don't be a person of little faith. Be a man, a woman of great faith.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
What's our precept for life today? Well, you've got to know that it has something to do with faith, doesn't it? Yes, it does. God wants you and me to know the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, you read of Jesus saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, "You err because you don't know the Word of God." In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is warning his disciples. He's warning them about the leaven of the scribes and Sadducees. It's that which is sown in the midst of truth and which spreads and permeates and, in a sense, contaminates. And so he says to them in verse 6, "Watch out and beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And then he comes down in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 16, and it says, "Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Beloved, more and more as we near the time of the Lord's coming, as we come to the end of the age, the teaching is going to get worse and worse and worse. And you and I need to know the Word of God. We cannot walk by faith if we don't know the Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gives a warning. It's in his last epistle. And he says to Timothy, he says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching." The Pharisees and the Sadducees did not have sound teaching. Many people today do not have sound teaching. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from truth and will turn aside to myths. What is God's word to you today? Make sure that your faith is based on a solid understanding of the Word of God. Just don't follow somebody that's going to tickle your ears. Rather, beloved, follow the truth. To do that, you've got to study His precepts. They're precepts for life, and through them you get understanding, and then you rightly hate every false way.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.